That crash of a Russian airliner in the Sinai Peninsula on Saturday that left 224 people dead is looking more and more like some kind of terrorist attack, according to some investigators. The Airbus jetliner at cruising altitude bursts into flames, breaks up and falls to earth suddenly.
And you, Putin the pig, if you think you can destroy our state by sending your planes, vehicles, and soldiers, you are wrong, and you will regret that. The plane we downed is the best proof. We will not be satisfied with downing your planes, but will storm your houses and will slaughter you.
That's reportedly a statement from ISIS insurgents in Sinai released earlier this week. But the evidence so far is circumstantial, not substantive. James Clapper, U.S. Director of National Intelligence, said yesterday, quote, there is a very aggressive ISIL chapter in the Sinai desert, but we really don't know. The British government yesterday announced that it believes an explosive device likely took down the plane and announced the suspension of all flights between UK and Sharm el-Sheikh, the resort community where the flight originated. The Netherlands also suspended all flights by Dutch airlines to and from Sharm el-Sheikh, at least until Sunday. The U.S. State Department has restricted travel to the region by all government employees, but spokesman John Kirby said he was not going to get into a discussion of cause and effect regarding the plane disaster. Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist and author of Cyberphobia, Identity, Trust, Security, and the Internet, says there are many reasons why the U.S. might want to stay out of this one for now.
Well, it's obviously politically really sensitive for relations with Egypt, first of all. We actually have Mr. Sisi visiting London right now, and it was on the eve of his visit that we've delivered a really savage blow to the international confidence in Egypt's tourism industry. Tourism really keeps the Egyptian economy afloat to a large extent, and everyone's going to be thinking twice if they've got holidays planned or pending there. So it's a very big deal to say that Egypt is not able to guarantee the security of outgoing flights if someone really did put a bomb on the board. We don't know what the lead was that has made the British government take what they stress is a temporary measure. But if it is a bomb, then that is a big black mark against Egyptian security, because that bomb must have been put on the plane in an Egyptian airport, which clearly wasn't following proper security procedures.
And the fact that this is a huge economic blow to Egypt only underscores certainly the motive, if not the opportunity, for the insurgents in Sinai to take a step like this. They know exactly the kind of damage they can do if they were behind it, right?
Yes, it's a double weapon for them, because they both want to demonstrate their ability to fight back against the Egyptian regime, as they see it, but they also detest the kind of sybaritic, bacchanalian pleasures of Sharm el-Sheikh, which is run like a kind of Western holiday resort with mingling between the sexes, there's drinking. It goes down very badly with conservative Muslims, let alone Islamists.
Oh, that's fascinating. I hadn't really thought of that. You know, there's a long tradition, or a tradition in any case, of this kind of denial of reality, or what seems to be reality, by the Egyptians. The Egypt Air crash, which was designated by aviation experts as an obvious suicide by the pilot, to this day, the Egyptian government has not acknowledged that there could have possibly been any deliberate pilot attempt to bring down that Egypt airplane that took place some years ago. This is something the Egyptian government typically does to protect tourism and to save face, wouldn't you say?
Well, I think all governments are reluctant to admit that they've fallen down and they don't like seeing their countries as vulnerable. But of course, Egypt is a pretty closed authoritarian society. You don't get the kind of open investigation there. And of course, the other thing is Egypt is a powder keg. There is a large slice of the Egyptian population which loathes this kind of secular, military, authoritarian democracy. They want to have a proper, as they see it, pious Islamist government.
Looking at the U.S. side of this, do you folks over at The Economist believe that the United States, which has declared that it also has concerns about the airspace over Sinai, but is distancing itself from the claims of the UK government here, is basically appeasing the dictatorship in Cairo at the expense of the truth by not endorsing what the investigators in the UK are saying?
It's not only America that's being cautious. Other European countries, who far more than America send tourists to Egyptian holiday resorts, are also being cautious. For America, this is not that big a deal, because there are very few Americans probably who would go that far to get some winter sunshine. But ultimately, once they investigate the wreckage, and that's coming pretty soon now, there's going to be marks of explosives or not. And if there are explosives there, then that is a bomb, and the bomb must have been planted on the aircraft. And that means flying out of that aircraft, out of that airport, is going to be seen as unsafe until things change. Either Britain's going to back down and say, we're now reassured it wasn't a bomb, or other countries are going to say, well, it was a bomb, and we join Britain in saying, sorry, we can't put our own people's lives at risk by having them fly in and out of this place.
Edward Lucas, your suspicion, if this assessment proves out to be true, is this a strategic escalation by ISIS against Egypt, or an opportunistic attack by a local insurgency in Sinai?
My guess is that it's an escalation by ISIS, that we, you know, aircraft are incredible points of vulnerability, and we've seen aircraft can be shot down at 30,000 feet if you've got the right missile, but the best way of blowing up an aircraft is to put a bomb on it, either with a person or without. We've got better at screening people as they get onto planes with weapons and bombs and all the rest of it, but the baggage is still really vulnerable, and any weakness at the airport can lead to a bag being switched, being interfered with. The way aviation works doesn't make it easy to have this sort of security. You have to put a lot of effort into it. And in a country where there's a lot of ill-paid and very resentful people, it's going to be a tempting target for ISIS to have a go at an airplane with Westerners on board or Europeans on board.
Well, Edward Lucas, senior editor at The Economist, you're making me feel better about driving home from Vermont rather than flying, even though I'm probably more in danger on the roads than I would be in the air. Edward Lucas, thanks so much.
My pleasure, John.
Edward Lucas is senior editor at The Economist and author of Cyberphobia: Identity, Trust, Security, and the Internet.